Chapter 89. Losing the Light. The last 4 days had been endlessly overcast and raining. At first, the trees had given us some shelter, but we soon discovered that the leaves overhead merely held the rain, and the slightest stir of wind sent down showers of heavy drops that had been gathering for hours. This meant that whether or not it was currently raining, we were constantly dripped upon and damp. Stories after supper had stopped. Martin caught a cold, and as it worsened, he grew sullen and sarcastic. And 2 days ago, the bread had gotten wet. This might sound like a small thing, but if you ever tried to eat a piece of wet bread after a day of walking in the rain, you know what sort of mood it puts you in. Dedan had grown truly unmanageable. He balked and complained at the simplest of tasks. The last time he'd gone into town for supplies, he had bought a bottle of dreg instead of potatoes, butter, and bowstrings. Hespe left him behind at Crossan, and he didn't get back to camp until nearly midnight, stinking drunk and singing loud enough to make the dead cover their ears. I didn't bother telling him off. Sharp as my trooper's tongue was, he was obviously immune to it. Instead, I waited until he passed out, poured the remaining dreg on the fire, and left the bottle sitting in the coals for him to see. After that, he stopped his constant derogatory muttering about me and settled into chilly silence. While the quiet was nice, I knew it was a bad sign. Given everyone's rising temper, I decided each of us would search for trail sign on our own. This was partly because walking in someone's footsteps over wet turf was a sure way to tear up the ground and leave a trail. But the other reason is that I knew if I sent Dedan and Hespe out together, their eventual argument would alert any bandit within 10 miles. I came back to camp dripping wet and miserable. It turns out the boots I'd bought in Severin didn't have a lick of waterproofing, so they drank rainwater like sponges. In the evening I could dry them out using the heat of the fire and a little careful sympathy, but as soon as I took 3 steps, they were soaked through again. So on top of everything, my feet had been cold and damp for days. It was our 29th day in the Eld, and when I came over the tiny ridge that hid our latest camp, I saw Dedan and Hespe sitting on opposite sides of the fire, ignoring each other. Hespe was oiling her sword. Dedan was idly jabbing the ground in front of him with a pointed stick. I wasn't in much mood for conversation myself. Hoping the silence held, I went wordlessly to the fire. Except there was no fire. "What happened to the fire?" I asked stupidly. What had happened was rather obvious. It had been left to burn down to charred sticks and damp ashes. "It's not my turn to get wood," Hespe said pointedly. Dedan poked at the dirt with his stick. I noticed the beginnings of a bruise high on his cheek. All I wanted in the world was a little something hot to eat and 10 minutes with dry feet. It wouldn't make me happy, but it would bring me closer to happy than I'd been all day. "I'm surprised the two of you can piss without help," I spat. Dedan glared up at me.
"Just what do you mean by that?"
When Alvaron asked me to do this job for him, he implied I would have adults helping me, not a handful of schoolchildren. Dedan snapped.
"You don't know what she—"
I cut him off. "I don't care. I don't care what you're bickering about. I don't care what she threw at you. I care that the fire is out. Tailu above, a trained dog would be more help." Dedan's expression firmed into a familiar belligerence.
"Maybe if—"
"Shut up," I said. "I would rather listen to a jackass braying than waste my time with whatever you're saying. When I come back to camp, I expect fire and a meal. If this is beyond you, I'll arrange to have some 5-year-old come out from Crossan and babysit the both of you." Dedan stood. The wind gusted in the trees above us, sending down heavy drops to patter on the ground.
"You're on your way to a meal you won't be able to stomach, boy."
His hands clenched into fists, and I reached into my pocket to grip the mommet I had made of him 2 days ago. I felt my stomach clench in fear and fury. "Dedan, if you take a single step toward me, I will lay such pain on you that you will scream for me to kill you." I stared him square in the eye. "Right now, I am irritated. Do not even think of making me angry." He paused, and I could almost hear him thinking of every story he had ever heard about Tabal in the Great, fire and lightning. There was a moment of long silence as the two of us stared at each other, unblinking. Luckily, at this point, Tempe returned to camp, breaking the tension. Feeling a little foolish, I went to the embers of the fire to see if I could rekindle it. Dedan stomped into the trees, hopefully in search of wood. At this point, I didn't care if it was Rennell or not. Tempe sat by the side of the dead fire. Perhaps if I hadn't been busy, I might have noticed something odd in his movement. Then again, perhaps not. Even for a semi-educated barbarian such as myself, the moods of the Ardem are difficult to read. As I coaxed the fire slowly back to life, I began to regret how I had handled things. That thought alone kept me from lashing out at Dedan when he returned with an armload of wet wood and dropped it at the edge of my newly rebuilt fire, scattering it. Martin came back shortly after I had rebuilt the fire a second time. He settled at the edge of it and spread his hands. His eyes were sunken and dark.
"Feeling any better?"
I asked him.
"Loads."
His voice rasped wetly in his chest, sounding worse than it had this morning. I worried about the sound of his breathing, about pneumonia, about fever.
"I can mix you a tea that will make your throat a little easier,"
I suggested without much hope. He'd rejected all my offers of help over the last several days. He hesitated, then nodded. As I was heating the water, he had a fit of violent coughing that lasted nearly a minute. If the rain didn't stop tonight, we would have to head into town and wait for him to recover. I couldn't risk him catching pneumonia or giving away our position to bandit sentries with a coughing fit. I handed him his tea, and Tempe stirred in his seat by the edge of the fire.
"I killed 2 men today," he said.
There was a long moment of stunned silence. Rain spattered the ground around us. The fire hissed and spat.
"What?"
I asked incredulously.
"I was attacked by 2 men behind the trees,"
Tempe said calmly. I rubbed the back of my neck.
"Damn it, Tempe, why didn't you say something before?"
He gave me a level look and his fingers made an unfamiliar circle.
"It is not easy to kill 2 men," he said.
"Are you hurt?" Hespe asked.
Tempe turned his cool look on her next. Offended. I'd misunderstood his previous comment. It wasn't the fight itself he had found difficult. It was the fact that he had killed 2 men.
"I have needed this time to settle my thoughts. Also, I wait to when all are here."
I tried to remember the gesture for apology, but had to settle for sorrow instead.
"What happened?"
I asked calmly as I fingered the frayed ends of my patience. Tempe paused to choose his words.
"I was trying to find the trail when 2 men jump out from trees."
"What do they look like?"
Dedan asked, beating me to the question. Another pause.
"One your size, his arms longer than mine, stronger than me, but slow, slower than you."
Dedan's expression darkened as if he couldn't decide if he'd been insulted.
"The other was smaller and quicker. Both their swords were broad and thick, edged on both sides, this long."
He held his hands perhaps 3 feet apart. I thought the description revealed more about Tempe than the men he fought.
"Where did it happen? How long ago?"
He pointed in the direction we had been searching.
"Less than 1 mile, less than 1 hour."
"Do you think they were waiting for you?"
"They weren't there when I came through,"
Martin said defensively. He gave a wet, tearing cough deep in his chest and spat something thick onto the ground.
"If they were waiting, they couldn't have been waiting long."
Tempe gave an eloquent shrug.
"What sort of armor did they have?"
Dedan asked. Tempe was quiet for a moment, then reached out to tap my boot.
"This."
"Leather?" I suggested. He nodded.
"Leather. Hard. And with some metal."
Dedan relaxed a bit.
"That's something at least,"
he mused, then looked up sharply at Hespe.
"What? What was that look you just gave me?"
I wasn't looking at you, Hespe said frostily.
You were so, you rolled your eyes.
He looked at Martin.
You saw her roll her eyes, didn't you?
Shut up, I snarled at the two of them. Surprisingly, things grew quiet. I pressed the heels of my hands to my eyes and gave our situation a moment of uninterrupted thought. Martin, how much light do we have left? He looked up at the slate-colored sky.
Oh, another hour and a half like this, he rasped. Enough to track in. There may be a quarter hour of bad light after that. The sun will go down quick behind these clouds.
Do you feel up to a little more running around today? I asked. His grin surprised me.
If we can find these bastards tonight, let's do it. They've kept me tramping around this godforsaken place long enough.
I nodded, reached out and took a pinch of damp ash from the pitifully small fire. I rubbed it between my fingers thoughtfully, then wiped it onto a small rag and tucked it into my cloak. It wouldn't be a good source of heat, but anything was better than nothing. All right, I said. Tempi will lead us to the bodies, then we'll see if we can trail them back to their camp. I stood up.
Whoa,
Daedan said, holding out his hands.
What about us?
You and Hespe stay here and guard the camp. I bit my tongue to keep from adding, and try to keep the fire from going out.
Why, let's all go. We can take care of them tonight.
He got to his feet.
And what if there's a dozen of them?
I asked in my best scathing tones. He paused, but didn't back down.
We'll have the element of surprise.
We won't have the element of surprise if all five of us go tramping around, I said hotly.
Why are you going then?
Daedan demanded.
It could just be Tempi and Martin.
I'm going because I need to see what we're up against. I'm the one that is going to be making the plan that will get us through this alive.
Why should Greenwood like you be making the plan at all?
We're losing the light,
Martin interjected wearily.
Blessed Taylor, where voice of reason speaks.
I looked at Daedan.
We are going, you are staying. That is an order.
An order?
Daedan echoed with dark incredulity. We eyed each other dangerously for a moment, then I turned and followed Tempi into the trees. Thunder growled through the sky above us. A wind moved through the trees, clearing away the endless drizzle. In its place, a steady rain began to fall.